Well, it's time now for our committee reports. Trustee Courts is doing double duty today. First of all, he will be reporting for the Governance, Personnel, and Ethics Committee and Trustee Fitzgerald's absence. I would also mention that in addition to you, Trustee Brown Holmes and Fitzgerald are on it. Tim, you have the floor.
Thank you, sir. The Governance, Personnel, and Ethics Committee met on March 3rd, 2016 via video conference at the Urbana, Chicago, and Springfield campuses. Don't forget Rockford. With Trustees Fitzgerald and Courts in attendance, the committee approved the minutes of the last meeting that was held on January 7, 2016. We also reviewed and recommended the items within the purview of the committee on today's agenda for board consideration. Number one, appoint Executive Director for Governmental Relations, and number two, appointments to the faculty, administrative, professional staff, and intercollegiate athletic staff. We also reviewed some reports and presentations. Ms. Donna McNeely, Executive Director of Ethics and Compliance, gave an annual report from the Office of University Ethics and Compliance. She provided information on ethics training, and she said that the compliance rate for 2015 is currently 99.9%. She also described efforts related to the processing of statements of economic interests and supplemental forms and reported on changes for 2016. She presented the ethics caseload and caseload analysis for 2015 and reviewed compliance initiatives. Ms. Jennifer Creasy, Assistant Director of Governmental Relations, gave a legislative update. She discussed the governor's budget address and potential reductions to higher education funding, MAP funding, and ongoing advocacy work. She said the university is leading efforts to demonstrate the importance of higher education in the state and the impact of the budget impasse. Mr. Mark Donovan, Vice Chancellor for Administrative Services at the UIC campus, gave us a report on the underreporting of violent crimes in 2014 on the Chicago campus. These materials are on file with our clerk. This report was in response to an investigation report by NBC 5 Chicago that aired on February 6, 2016, which criticized the Clery Act and alleged that the Chicago campus underreported crimes that occurred within campus boundaries. Mr. Donovan said that after a thorough review of crime incident reports and a geospatial analysis, it has been determined that there was not a discrepancy in the reporting of aggravated assaults and robberies. He indicated that there was an error in the reporting of motor vehicle thefts, and he discussed the reasons for this error and said that measures have been taken to prevent future discrepancies. Lastly, Mr. Hardy gave a Freedom of Information Act 2015 year-end review. Freedom of Information Act requests have increased each year, and Mr. Hardy reviewed several metrics related to the volume and type of these requests. He also commented on the work generated by recurrent requesters. The committee also briefly discussed the results of the trustee self-evaluation, which were generally positive. Dr. Keyes is following up on some requests for additional training. The next meeting of the committee is scheduled for Thursday, May 5th, 2016 at 1 p.m.
Very good. Any questions or comments relative to the committee report? All right, hearing none, you will have the floor again to report on your committee, the university healthcare system. I would point out that Trustees Estrada and Fitzgerald also serve on the committee with you. So continue.
Thank you. The University Healthcare System Committee met on Thursday, March 3rd via video conference at Urbana, Chicago, Springfield, and Rockford. Trustees joining me for the meeting were Rick Estrada and Pat Fitzgerald. The committee first reviewed 11 items which will be brought today before the full board for a vote. I will list these for you. First, agenda items 9 through 13, reorganize the Department of Pediatrics, College of Medicine at Peoria, UIC. 10, reappoint member to the Advisory Board, Division of Specialized Care for Children, DSCC, in Springfield, UIC. Name the Glen Netto Health and Wellness Center, College of Medicine at Rockford, UIC. Name the Olga M. Jonasson MD Classroom, Library of the Health Sciences, Chicago, UIC. amend the University of Illinois Hospital Medical Staff Bylaws, Chicago, UIC. And then also items 20 through 24, Health Services Facilities System Revenue Bonds, Series 2013, alternate projects. Approved project for Research Laboratories, Medical Sciences Building, Chicago. Increase project budget and amend professional services consultant contract for Clinical Performance Center, College of Medicine, Chicago. Award construction contracts for mechanical and electrical upgrades, University of Illinois Medical Center, Chicago. 24, purchase recommendations. The committee was happy to allow all these items to proceed for a full board vote. Our collaboration highlight for the March 3rd meeting was provided by Dr. Terry Weaver, Dean of the College of Nursing at UIC. She outlined a twofold mechanism of cooperation, that of education and of research. For example, undergraduate, master's, and doctorate programs in nursing are offered at the Urbana campus under the direction of the UIC College. Also, remember that recently a new undergraduate nursing program was established at our campus in Springfield. In the research realm, UIC and UIUC collaborate on many projects, including the field of educational psychology and an ultrasound study to detect anatomic changes in preterm labor. Next, our hospital CEO, Dr. Avijit Ghosh, brought us up to date on some hospital issues. He showed us quality data covering the last 3 years that revealed significant improvement in mortality rates and decrease in the incidence of sepsis and nosocomial infections. It's great to see the efforts on these quality of care issues coming to fruition. Regarding financials, at the end of the seventh month of this fiscal year, our operating margin stands at a loss of $300,000. This compares to a loss of $7 million at the same juncture last year. Some new trends noted include an increase in average length of stay for inpatients, which translates to less efficiency and a loss of profits. This may be due to a suspected increase in the acuity of our patients, which in lay terms translates to sicker, more complicated patients. We still continue to be negatively affected by Medicaid managed care, as discussed in my January report. Unfortunately, not a great deal of progress to report on this front. Other newer challenges include pharmacy costs at 12% over budget, largely due to an inability to recoup inpatient pharmacy expenditure. And finally, we see the state moving more to bundled payments, DRGs, which is diagnostic-related groups, based as opposed to per diem payments for inpatients. And this, of course, erodes any profits realized with increases in the acuity of our patient population. Mr. Chairman, this concludes my report, other than to say that our next committee meeting will be held on May 5th at 2:15 p.m. at the usual venues. I'd be happy to answer any questions, especially if anybody didn't understand some of the jargon I used in the report.
Yes, Jill.
I just have a really quick question on the changes to the bylaws. Is there anything significant in what the changes are?
It's a requirement by Joint Commission on Accreditation, and I think it was mostly a formality updating certain somewhat archaic language.
I don't know if I could call on Bob to comment on that, or
thank you.
But no, nothing earth shaking there.
Thanks.
Sure.
Just a point of clarification between what you and Walt had presented. How much receivable does the hospital have in payments? I mean, you talked about there being 2 billion of payments that are health related. How much of that do we have at the hospital, Walt? Or do you know?
We have to give you a specific number. I don't know. I didn't bring it with me, but I can get you the
okay.
Number.
I know there is some, but I don't know how significant it is.
I can remember from my January report, if I can just remember from memory, basically due to non-payment of Medicaid bills, which is our largest payer mix, our accounts receivable over like 60 and 120 days had spiked by 40%. an increase of 40% just in the last 6 months. That was as of January, and it was in the multi-million dollar range. Yep. I don't have any figures. You know, since January.
That's fine.
But I don't think it's...
It's a challenge.
Worse, not better.
Any further comments or questions for Tim on the hospital report? Health services report. All right. All right, you can rest now.
Thank you, sir.